Welcome to Animal Talk, the show about connections between animals and people. I'm your host, Joanne Rideout. This month, we'll take a look inside a local agency on the coast that works on behalf of companion animals. It's the Clatsop County Animal Shelter in Warrenton. I went there recently to interview Animal Control Supervisor Stephen Hildreth. He supervises a small staff of dedicated animal welfare workers. The facility is welcoming to visitors, and the lobby has play areas where people who want to adopt can get to know their new pet. It's a few hours before opening time when I arrive, but the place is busy and spotless. Workers have been cleaning the place inside and out for the animals.
And we'll go ahead and head into the dog adoption area.
And so are you dogs and cats?
We are dogs and cats. Sometimes ferrets, once in a while birds. We'll go head first into dog adoption, I guess. It can get loud.
Hi, guys.
The dogs all start barking at once when we walk inside. There are rows of metal cages. Each of them has a dog inside, and all of these dogs are up for adoption.
And when you come out of dog adoption, you come up to cat adoption.
Oh, okay.
And this is where we are at right now, at the cat adoption. They're in the process of cleaning in here right now. And what they're doing...
Is that where I am? Cat's loose. Yeah,
okay. This is Troy, my cat worker. And they're putting the cats back in the kennels now after they clean. They rotate out row at a time, take so many out, clean their kennels, do another row, clean them, and then they put the kitties back in. And this is, we're a small shelter, so we don't have a lot of room for cats, and people don't quite understand that. We have 15 stainless steel kennels and two holding kennels on top in our adoption, which this year we're actually getting two larger kennels put in to make up for the other area. And in here we also have our little room that people can sit with the cats individually and get to know them if they want to adopt.
We continue our tour of the shelter into some of the areas where staff and volunteers do their behind-the-scenes work to evaluate and treat the animals in their care.
We'll go through to the dog isolation and quarantine areas. Now these areas are when dogs first come in. They go in here before they're temperament tested. If they're strays, we don't know what they are. And if they're a bite dog or they're sick, we'll put them in our quarantine unit. We have three quarantine units. High walls keep them separated so they don't spread anything. Paid staff is only allowed in to work with these animals.
So is there anybody in there now?
Not right now, no. Mm-hmm. We are doing good. We have no real sick or dangerous animals. So that's always a good thing. Now dogs that have come in that are strays or... Once they've been owner released, they come into our isolation room. Now, when they first come in, they come in here. Once they've been temperament tested and vaccinated, they get moved up to adoption as we have room. Yes, I hear you. So these guys, they just finished cleaning in here, so they're bringing them in from our outside runs. They've all been temperament tested, and these guys are all ready to move up as soon as we have room now. We got them. Except for this little guy who's a safekeeping. And what was safekeeping? His mother passed away. He was found in the house with the mother. He will be going home. The daughter came up from California and will be picking him up tomorrow. So he'll have to go back with the daughter. Yes, I see, kiddo.
It's not unusual for animals at the shelter to need to see a doctor. To pay for such care, the Clatsop County Animal Shelter has developed a valuable partnership with a local nonprofit.
Right over here now is that we have a room, sorry, vet room. What we have done here, we took a grooming room we had and we converted it into a vet room so that veterinarians can come out and stay and neuter our animals here.
Oh, so this really looks like a room in your vet clinic that you take your animal to. Okay.
We had the bathtub removed. Our nonprofit, Clatsop Animal Assistance, they provide all our medical care for our animals. They pay, if I get an animal in that's injured, I can take it right to a vet. They pay the cost. They are a nonprofit. They paid for over half the stuff in the room. And part of it was donated. They paid for the rest, the anesthesia machines, the autoclaves, everything. And they did this. And they also helped pay the vets to come out and spay and neuter here. So they are, without that group, we could not operate.
So now how does that financial end of it work for you? You are a county agency, but you're affiliated with a nonprofit. How does that work?
Well, we are county, and we're limited with county funds. The nonprofit started to help out the animals at the shelter because there wasn't funding. So 100% of the nonprofit's money goes directly to the animals here. And they also do outreach to the county. They help provide spay and neuter certificates for people out in the county within Clatsop County to help get their animals spayed and neutered. They do emergency care. If an animal is hit on the road and brought to a vet, you know, they will pay up to, I think it's a $200 emergency for that animal to make sure it gets treated so it just doesn't get put down until the owner can be found. Or, you know, they do other arrangements. Let's say your animal is injured, you need a surgery, they may help with a certain, you know, $100 or $200 towards that.
Okay.
But they pay for any animal I get in here that needs medical care, whatever, I can get it to a vet and they will pay for it. And the vets work with us because it is a nonprofit and it is a shelter. They actually work with us on doing this. But our animals get better care here than most places. So we're very proud of that. And animals that get turned over to us, you know, if they need medical care, they're going to get it. We don't euthanize for space. We only euthanize for temperament reasons, if it's not a good adoptable animal, or if it has something we cannot treat. If it no longer has quality of life, if it's cancer, last stages of cancer, it's so old, it no longer can walk, you know, it's dropping itself, we're not going to try to adopt and keep an animal like that going. A lot of people believe we're a no-kill shelter. We're not. We are a low-kill. And we've got enough resources that with dogs, we don't have to euthanize for space. We have other options. We can work with different organizations, different humane societies, to rotate dogs out to stop us from having to do that.
Well, how long have you been doing this work?
I've been doing this 7 years.
What is the biggest, I mean, are there any like generalities that you can make about why animals end up in a shelter?
There's quite a few. Right now, we're seeing a lot due to the economic issues. A lot of people can no longer afford to take care of their animals, and they can't find housing for them. A lot of places in our county will not, you know, let people rent a house with a pet, or they're requiring such a large deposit, people can't afford to do it, so they are turning their animals over to us.
Mm. Are there breeds that are, of dogs or cats that are easier to adopt than others?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know, most people right now with the craze against the pit bull and, you know, a lot of the Rottweilers and the Dobermans, you know, people have those misconceptions about the breed, and, you know, they don't want them. And it's harder to find because of insurance companies to allow people to rent with those dogs, because a lot of insurance companies will not rent to someone with one of these dogs. So we're finding, you know, like the small poodles, you know, small cutesy dogs are normally easier to place because a lot of places have time limits also to what, or weight limits, I'm sorry, not time limits. Weight limits to the animals that are allowed to be in their place. A lot of apartments at 20 pounds and under. So that makes a big difference.
Huh. Well, I noticed as we were walking through the dog section that you do have several pit bulls. So what's your view on that? I've read that, and my experience is that pit bulls can be really wonderful dogs. Do you see that also, or do you see that they tend to be... Are they vicious animals in your
opinion? In my opinion, It's the dog and how the dog is bred and how it's raised. You know, you get an inbred dog, you're going to have issues. You have a dog that's been severely abused, you're going to have issues. All our dogs, we temperament test them before putting them into adoption. And the ones we have here, we feel safe adopting out. Now, not all dogs, whatever breed, whether a pit bull or whatever, are always good to adopt out. But, you know, generalizing, the majority of the pit bulls we see here are really good dogs. And so we don't have that issue. And we're one of the few shelters that takes pit bulls.
Well, what's temperament testing? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, we actually borrowed our procedures from Oregon Humane in Portland. And it's just a list of stuff we do with the animal, where we try them with food, we work with them with different things we do with them on handling the animal, if they'll let us touch them in certain ways, how they are with food aggression, if they'll let us handle their food, what they'll let us do to them, and whether it's safe. We try to do everything that a kid would do to a dog in there with them, and if they allow us to do that, then they're acceptable. It also tells us with some dogs, at what age group to place a dog. This dog may be wonderful with children 12 and up, just because the type of dog, you know, normally those are a lot of times smaller dogs, because little kids want to poke or step on them, and then they'll turn around and kind of nip at them. So we do a temperament test to try to help us with judging the dog. And if it doesn't pass its temperament test, we don't adopt it out.
So do dogs ever learn to have a better temperament from being handled here?
Some do, yes. And it's not necessarily a temperament. It's just some of them just need training. If there's any failure in the temperament test, we won't adopt them out. If they show any signs of aggression, we will not adopt them out. We won't take that chance. But there are a lot of these dogs, they're not aggressive. They're just untrained. And we have a number of people here who work really hard, volunteers. We have a couple that are trainers that come in and work with our dogs. So a lot of the stuff can be worked out of them, you know, and most of it is just some basic dog training, I should say.
So volunteers, how many people approximately have you got volunteering here?
Oh, gosh, that changes on a regular basis. We probably have about 50 active volunteers. You know, they range everything from dog walkers to cat sitters. Some are foster parents, where they actually just, all we see them is when they come in to foster some animals and bring them back for us. They actually don't do anything else at the shelter. We have some that do just some office work, you know, that'll sit and do office. We have one that who works at our front desk, who's here 5 days a week, from opening to close. And she's here, she also runs a Sunday market. She's also part of our nonprofit, the Class of Animal Assistance, and she volunteers her time 5 days a week.
So the Sunday market, do you have a booth there?
We have a booth there every other Sunday, and our nonprofit brings our animals out there, and they bring them at the out to the Sunday market, and that really does great. You know, we get a lot of people end up adopting our animals from there.
Well, when you are adopting an animal, what's the criteria? What are you looking for in a person who can take an animal home from here?
Well, we have an application process. You fill out an application, we'll go over it with you. With a dog, we do a home check, a home inspection, and we also have to have our landlord approval. This is one of the issues we found. If we just adopt an animal out, half the time it'll come right back. So we verify that if they're a renter, that they're allowed to have a pet. That way it stops it right then and there if the landlord says no, because then the dog won't be shipped back or left out on the street. Each animal is different. There is no one thing for every dog. We want a forever home. We're trying, you know, and we have an application process to go through. It's basically to help educate the person and, you know, to let them know what we're looking for in an owner for the dog. We want a dog owner to be able to have this dog for the rest of their life. So we try to make it a good match. If they have other animals, other dogs, we want them to meet. Because if we don't, they get in a fight when they bring the new dog home, they bring the dog back. So we try to cut all that out right away. And it only, you know, the old process would take a long time. We try to do this within 2 business days. And then the animal is altered before leaving. Now with cats, we don't do a home inspection. We still do the application process, and the animal is also altered before going. And you know, our application is a kind of almost like an interview process. It's not a hard one. It's not, you're not right or wrong answers. You know, it's mainly education.
I ask Hildreth if he has a special dog here, one that's really close to his heart, and he introduces me to a dog with an amazing and compelling story.
Oh, goodness.
This is Jojo.
Jojo appears to be a young yellow lab mix. He looks kind of on the thin side, but he's full of energy and is really, really happy to see us.
Was found up on the logging road, 9 miles up. And they called me in on a Sunday night about 11:30 because the people who found him called the sheriff. And he was picked up. They didn't think he'd make it through the night. He was so emaciated that they didn't expect him to live through the night. He couldn't walk. He was laying there. And they brought him in, and we had to put fluids into him. We had to put sub-Q fluids into him and start feeding him because he's still a bit thin, but he had every rib was sticking out, his hip bones. His pads were completely holes in them. And it's been 3 weeks he's been here now. And now he'll jump on the counters. He can do everything. He's a wild boy, aren't you?
Yeah.
And he loves to play. But somebody had, pretty sure somebody had just dumped him out. The collar was on him when he was found, too. And the collar is in pretty good shape for some dog that had been just left out in the woods. And it wasn't too big for him, either. But he has turned out to be a really great dog. Yeah, aren't you, Jojo? And he's getting better and better by the day.
And so he looks like a really adorable, adoptable dog.
He is, but he's a hound, and he follows his nose, and he runs like a greyhound. He will take him out in the play yard, and he'll just do laps and laps. But he's very loud, so this is one of the issues with different dogs. He would require a fenced yard. Because he's a hound, and he will follow his nose, and he'll go right after a scent and not look off. And he also is loud, so he gets very,
he's a barker in a...
Yes, he is, so. But he's a real special little guy, and he's doing really good.
Do you have any idea how old he is?
He's about a year. Yeah, he's a young boy. He'll take everything from balls. He'll take the empty kitty litter containers and play with them and throw them around. But he has a habit now of when he's here in the lobby, if you're not watching him, he'll jump up on the counters. And he gets up on here and knocks everything over. And 3 weeks ago, he could hardly stand up. Had to carry him from here out to the yard to go potty.
Boy, but that must be really rewarding for you to see that kind of turnaround.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole reason for doing this job. Is when you, like I said, we can't save everybody, but the ones we can, we do. You know, and there's probably 100 more out there like him.
My interview at the shelter happened just before the 4th of July weekend, and Hildreth said that's unfortunately a special time at the shelter.
Right now, this is a busy time for us. For, 4th of July, New Year's, regatta, anytime they're doing fireworks, we have a ton of strays start coming in. And what ends up happening is that Tuesday, when we're back open to the public, we'll probably be full of dogs. And, you know, people don't realize a lot of dogs are terrified of the fireworks, so they don't think about it. You know, and one thing I urge everyone is whenever we have these big days where we have a lot of the 4th of July, the regatta parades, New Year's, anytime fireworks, Cinco de Mayo, when people are letting stuff go off, make sure your dogs are contained, you know, and if not, they'll end up running loose, getting hit, getting at the shelter.
Looks like a happy dog.
He is.
So then, do you then have a whole slew of owners coming to look for their dogs? So they come here and see if you pick them up?
A lot of times they come, a lot of times they don't. A lot of times people just don't pick up their animals. They don't have either the money to get them out. And by law, they have to license their animals. And an unlicensed dog gets picked up, it costs more money than if a dog that's not licensed.
So then if, does it, any sort of dog that you pick up, you charge a fee for the person to get it back, even if it is licensed?
Well, if it's licensed and we know who it belongs to, we'll take it back home. So we would tell people, keep your license on it and an ID tag. But if it's a reoccurring issue, you know, if it's your dog and this is the third time, you know, now I've been picking up your dog, guess what? You know, you'll either, it'll get brought here, or if ABP, you know, like Astoria PD or Warrenton does the same thing, they may cite you, and I may cite you for a dog at large. Okay. You know, if it's a continuous thing, we try to work with people. If you get your dog licensed, keep an ID. If it gets out, we know, you know, we know who it belongs to. Yeah, my first thing is I'll try to take it back to the home. If there's no one home and no place for me to leave the dog secure, it will come here. Always barking going on around
yeah,
here.
Well.
And the cats are being relatively quiet. Sometimes they're yelling so loud. All you hear is, they're a good quiet bunch today.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else? I mean, I think I've asked you everything I can think of. Is there anything else that you would want to say that I haven't thought of?
Also, people need to watch out for their dogs in the summer in the cars. That's a big thing we do see. But this one didn't buy. Yeah, the heat in the car can go up so fast that even on a mild day that's overcast, it can get so hot, you know, that the dogs can bake in the car. So do not take your dogs out in the car and leave them if you're going shopping on even a mediumly warm day. Leave them at home. Spay and neuter your pets. Spay and neuter your pets. We have enough dogs. We have enough cats. That's all I can say. Spay and neuter, please.
So do you find that when you say that before you release an animal, you are spaying and neutering them, does that mean that most of the ones you get are not when you get them?
Oh, yeah. Majority of them are not spayed and neutered. The ones that are either turned over to us or we pick up as strays, you know, that no one claims. And all our animals, like I said before, when they're adopted out, are spayed and neutered before the people get to pick them up. We take them to the vet, drop them off at their, for their, when the people adopt them, they pick them up at the vet the day of the surgery to bring their dog home or their cat. And this way we know the animal is spayed and neutered. We've had a few incidents in the past where one got out that wasn't, you know, but then our nonprofit will come and cover the cost of having it spayed and neutered. So we try to make sure, you know, if we're not sure if that animal is spayed, and that's normally the case as a female not knowing if it's spayed, and we'll take it into the vet and let them tell us whether they believe it's been spayed.
Donations from the community also help the shelter take good care of its animals. One local benefactor in particular has made quite a difference in the lives of homeless dogs and cats locally. Thanks to his generosity, the animals at the shelter have a place to play and more.
This is our play yard we got from our enhancement fund. We had this built. It's named the Asta Dog Park, and Mr. Bob Drucker had been donating a lot of money to us. And he just donated another out of his estate. He passed away about 6 months ago, and we just got a $50,000 check for that. And this is our fenced in 50 by 50 play yard. We can bring the dogs out here, lock it, and let them run and play, give them some other exercise room along with the two smaller ones that are on the back of the building. We have two little ones out there.
Oh, so that's great.
We future projects are going to, one of them is going to be probably looking at fencing in the whole shelter. Because of all the new development, we have the food bank back here, seniors and disability there. The whole housing complex here, and this is the only road now in and out. So we see a ton more traffic out here, and our volunteers walk dogs up and down the road. And people, since there's so much more traffic, we're looking at also having some kind of walkways put along the side of the roads so they don't have to walk in the road for safety reasons. And that's Angel, one of our best volunteers.
That looks like a dog that I saw in the kennel. Is she just kind of taking that dog for a stroll?
Yeah, Angel is authorized. She's been trained to work with our ISO dogs. She's one of, we have a couple volunteers that can work with the dogs in ISO. They've been specially trained. They still don't work with bite dogs or aggressive dogs, but they'll work with the newer ones that come in to exercise them. And she's a foster mom for us also, but she raises money for the shelter. And she is here 3 days a week, spends most of the day here, and she'll walk every dog in this place. And she has 5 dogs of her own. So this woman has just been very dedicated. And she brings her own snacks for him. She brings normally sausage and cheese, swears. And she's fostering Fernando, the little...
Oh, really?
Yeah, at night.
Aw, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I talk with Hildreth about what it's like to be working in a profession where people aren't always glad to see you.
Well, I think, you know, one of my thoughts about doing this show was that I think people tend, the only thing they might see is your truck, and they think it's the dog catcher. And you know, I mean, who loves the dog catcher? You know, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, I used to hide all the animals in the neighborhood in my kitchen. My mother would come out upstairs from doing the laundry, and I'd have like, I remember one day with like a Great Dane and a couple of poodles, and like they were all, and we were all watching the dog catcher go by. But you know, but really what you're doing is such a humanitarian thing, and I think it's important to let people know that, if
right.
they don't already know.
You know, we don't try to go out and just get people in trouble. We don't. Our whole idea is to help you take care of the animal. Normally, you know, if I see someone doing something, I'll give them a warning. I'll say, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. You know, this is what the law requires. Or if they're doing something with their animal that they shouldn't be, you know, we'll let them know. But we're not out trying to just hurt anybody or get anyone in trouble. We want to... My goal is to public safety and then animal safety. And that's what we're here for. You know, we want to take care of the animals. We want to make sure the people are safe. And if you have people, you know, letting their dogs run loose, you know, especially in areas that are not allowed to, somebody could get hurt. And that's one of our biggest things. But we're, you know, we don't go out and just try to write tickets on everybody. That's just not our... thing. We don't go just yanking people's dogs away from them or their cats. And, you know, we'd rather work and teach people and educate them to make them be able to take care of their animals better. Because that means I will have less animals here to take care of.
You can find out more information about adopting a pet or volunteering by contacting the Clatsop County Animal Shelter in Warrenton, Oregon. They're online at the Clatsop County website. You've been listening to Animal Talk, the show about connections between animals and people. Today's show has featured my interview with Clatsop County Animal Control Supervisor Stephen Hildreth. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening to Animal Talk.